know what I didn't do? Sorry, I'll come right back. Pause. I'm so happy to see you guys. I didn't sync my mic.
We can hear you.
Oh.
Well, you can hear me, but the people online can't hear me.
There we go. It's what happens when you don't come here for a few weeks. You get out of rhythm, and then I get to see all your smiling faces, and then we start talking, and then we have special guests here, and then you start talking to them. And so you know what? It's just good to be together. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what matters. We're here with God, and God is here with us, and that's the point of it. We do want to recognize your presence. There's a connection card. You'd be so kind to fill it out. Those online, love to hear you chat on the bottom. And we're grateful that God has brought you here. We want to honor that gift, but also prayer requests. You got a prayer request? We'd love to pray for you and walk with you and lift those up. We have a team that does that, and our staff does it, so please use that opportunity. We are interrupting our series on John because this weekend's kind of special. Anybody know what's going on? I think a big birthday. Yeah, a big nation birthday. So we thought it would be important to like talk about that a little bit and maybe look at it in a little bit more of the biblical lens of what it means for us as Christians living in America and celebrating this moment. What do we need to be reminded of? So we take that time and turn to God's word for that. So with that, let us rise and we'll begin our worship together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for you are the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and God, your kingdom reigns. And like we pray in the Lord's Prayer, your will, not our will, Lord, like we ask for your kingdom to come reign in our hearts. And that that your good and gracious will, I mean, the perfect will that's of heaven, would be done through us, the church. And it's such a time as this, it's so important that it is, because it's good. And so, Father, we turn our hearts to you, our eyes to you, and we ask you just to speak to us today, minister to us today as you do, and we just want to honor your presence and give you the worthy, because you are truly the everlasting King, whose kingdom has no beginning, has no end, and truly is the place we want to be. And so we thank you already for your good gifts you provided and the good you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, let's bless America, hey? We have that authority in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and we need to bless our land and our family and our friends, and so let's just sing this song together.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night. Prairies to the oceans, why with foam? God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
Well, this next song is Come Jesus Come, and who's ready for that? In the meantime, he sent us the Holy Spirit that dwells in us and abides in us, and with that we get so much fruit. And so we just ask, Lord, that you bless each and every one of us here, but also our nation, our leaders, all who are leading us through day-to-day safety and protection for us. Lord, we just ask that you protect us and remind us of who we are. We have the authority to pray and bless others. May we never forget that. Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. Come, Jesus, come. The day you return to heal every hurt, right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. Deep down I know this world isn't whole. So come, Jesus, come. Jesus, come. There'll be no war, and there'll be no chains when Jesus comes. Let today be the day. Yeah. He'll come for the weak. Just the same, all who believe the power of his name. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt. Jesus, come, come, Jesus, come. One day he'll come, and we'll stand face to face. Cause it might be today. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. Your past will be washed by the rivers of grace. Jesus, come.
come, Jesus, come.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, as this weekend, as we talked about, America is celebrating a birthday, 250 years. I just think about that for a moment. 2.5 centuries. I mean, generations have lived under this freedom that we enjoy for 2.5 centuries, which started as 13 colonies, is now 50 states. Wagons have given way to automobiles. Telegraphs have given way to smartphones. We watch men walk on the moon. Diseases that we never thought could ever be cured, be cured. Families raised, churches planted, missionaries sent around the world, and the gospel preached from countless pulpits in our nation. I mean, that's worth celebrating. And so as Christians, we don't apologize for gratitude. In fact, James reminds us, in James 1:17, your notes, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. That's every freedom that you and I enjoy, every opportunity that we have each and every day to go and make choices, to live a life and decide what careers we have, or how we're going to dress, or where we're going to eat. Every firefighter who runs into danger. Every peaceful transfer of power after elections. Every teacher invests in children. Every soldier who fights while we rest. Every good gift ultimately comes at the hand of God. So patriotism at its best begins with thanksgiving to God. But birthdays have a way of reminding us of something that we don't always like to think about. Every birthday is a celebration, that is indeed. But every birthday is also a reminder that time has passed. We celebrate because something has endured. Reflect because nothing on earth lasts forever. History has showed us over and over again. We can look at history and see the great nations of Egypt, the Empire of Babylon, Greece, Rome, Great Britain. Each one looked permanent. Each one looked like they would stand forever. Yet today, most are just tourist visits places or things we study in history books. Every nation has a birthday. Every nation has a history. And every nation, without exception, has a limit. And that's why God's word asks us a question that's deeper than politics and patriotism, that it's important for us to reflect on in our life. And that question is, where do Christians place their deepest hope? Where do Christians place their deepest hope? Because across America today, millions of American flags are flying, and they remind us of courage, of sacrifice and freedom and service, and they should, and it's good. We honor those who gave so much that we can enjoy the blessings today. But there's another symbol that stands even higher than the flag. It isn't stitched with stars and stripes. It's rough wood stained with the blood of the Son of God. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. And today we celebrate a nation that's endured 250 years, but we worship a king whose kingdom has no beginning, whose reign will have no end, whose deepest hope is not found in any one nation or the rise and fall of a nation, or how great the nation is. It's found solely in the work of Jesus Christ. Hebrews writes in 13:14, writes this as a reminder. It says, for here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Paul also says in Philippians 3:20, says this, he goes, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, we do celebrate the blessings of America, but God also lifts our eyes to something greater, to eternal kingdom, to eternal king, to eternal hope that doesn't disappoint, that is certain and sure. And so we're looking in your notes. Number one, give thanks for God's gifts. We certainly want to give thanks for God's gifts. When Moses knew something about prosperity, Israel was entering into the promised land. They were going to enter and take over houses they didn't build, vineyards they didn't plant, and wells they didn't dig. And it wasn't just going to be like, hey, these are just small little things. It was going to be incredibly abundant land. But God gave him this warning through Moses. He said, take care, lest you forget the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 8. That's interesting, isn't it? He doesn't warn them about a famine coming. He doesn't warn them about enemies, other kingdoms. He warns them about their success. Why? Because prosperity often leads to amnesia. The more prosperous we get, the more we forget why we are prosperous. And the heart tends to shift so slightly into, I did this, I built this, I earned this, I deserve this, and I deserve it at all cost. And Moses reminds them, no, everything is a gift. America's experienced great, extraordinary blessings. It has. But we got to put it in the right mindset. It's not because America is just such an exceptional, great nation. It's better than all the other nations. Like, God only has his hand on this nation. I mean, it only takes a little bit of the news to understand we are sinful and broken. Amen? And our leaders are not perfect leaders, and they're not righteous leaders, and they're not really holy leaders. And yet, what do we see? God has blessed us. He has continued to pour out blessings of freedom and pour out blessings of abundance where we can have pantries that are full, we can have freezers that are full. We continue to be able to enjoy choices that other nations don't have. You get to choose what to wear. You can choose your job. You can even be retired. You don't have to continue to work because you're able to save and store and have extra. We're blessed with incredible innovations. Running water is really good, right? Hospitals, medicine that's available to us, that's nowhere else in the world, schools upon schools and churches. But let us not forget, none of this exists apart from God's gracious hand. It may just happen to you because many of you here live here. And, you know, you live in Santa Rosa Beach and maybe you came from the beach because it's so beautiful and all its wonder. But, you know, and you watch visitors. I mean, they're just like the beach, right? I mean, every little crack in a building between houses, oh, it's the beach there. And they're all gathering on the beach and they don't care how hot it is, how crowded, they're going to go down the beach. They're going to get that sunset picture and everything. And they're just kind of like just taken back by the beauty of the scenery. But when you live here, you can drive right past that. You can say, I'm staying on 98. I don't care. And you can even be on 38 and you're not stopping. Oh, yeah, it's another sunset. So what? I mean, many of us don't even go to the beach that often. And here we are. Why? Because it's become so familiar. When something becomes so familiar, it's easy to take it for granted and it loses its wonder. We don't just do that with beaches, we do that in relationships with one another, but also with God. We can get so familiar to it that we just look it over. We just expect it, think we deserve it, think we earned it. And Moses knew the danger, and he warned Israel, take care, at least you forget the Lord your God. Familiarity often dulls the heart of gratitude. And the greatest danger isn't losing God's blessings. it's becoming so familiar with them that we forget to thank and honor the one who gave them. And this is where Paul speaks in. In Romans 2:4, Paul says, God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. Like, God never intended his gifts to be the destination. His gifts are kind of like signposts or channel markers. They're like signposts that are pointing to us back to the giver. I mean, God is a good God. I mean, Matthew 7 says he's a good father who loves to lavish gifts upon his children. And he lavishes out his goodness not to sit there and just simply spoil us, but he lavishes his goodness that we would be caught up. Our hearts would be caught. Our minds would be, our attention would be caught. And our minds and our hearts would be lifted up to him simply not because of the gifts, because it would point to who the giver is. That we would know that this giver's character is of love. He's a provider who wants to give good to his children that they may enjoy his goodness. He's sharing the goodness because that's what fathers do. They share in what they have to bring them all of us closer together. But our sinful hearts, we have a way of just stopping short. Instead of trusting the one who gives us every good and gift and perfect gift, we begin placing our confidence in the gifts. And as those gifts get developed in our life, whether it's our health, our wealth, our freedoms, our nation, our success, we like those things and they are comfortable and they give us a sense of security when they're all working well or working according to what we think they ought to be. And what happens is it gives us a false sense of independence, of that we are going to stand forever and not fall. And those gifts start getting away of the giver. Instead of being dependent on the giver who gives the gifts, we get dependent on the gifts. And the gifts are meant to bless, become the gifts to become our idols, our little gods in whom we trust. Moses then, he warns us, take care, be careful, watch out, don't forget the Lord. See, God's gifts are wonderful gifts, but they are terrible gods. And they will promise you everything and disappoint you, but they'll keep promising. And we'll keep chasing, hoping one day, hoping it will work this time. Well, they made it better. It's going to be better this time. Oh, the nation, it's going to be better. And that's why we need the warning of Hebrews as we come to the second point, because gratitude isn't enough. We also need to guard our hearts from holding on to the gifts and not the giver. And number two is guard against misplaced hope. Hebrews says, 13:14a says, for here we have no lasting city. I mean, these words are a little unsettling to think. No lasting city, no lasting economy, no lasting nation. I mean, our news is usually, whenever there's a conflict, have you noticed this? This issue is going to destroy the nation. Now, I think there's some issues that are pretty terrible, but it's always, we're going to destroy the nation and we're going to save it. So vote for us, you know? And it's just like, you know, they put that fear that this nation is going to close out. And so we're all anxious to it. And they're pumping that anxiety and over again. Now, I believe this, if America falls, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good for us. It's not going to be good for the world. It will bring on hardships. Freedoms will collapse. I mean, life will be totally shifted in another way. At the same time, I have to say, our fear and anxiety that we get so easily charged by these comments might point that our heart has drifted to put more hope in our country than our God's kingdom. and to the giver. And that we're trying to strive and fight and control because our grip is so tight to the gift and not the giver. See, God's word says, it says, for here we have no lasting city. There's no guarantees. Everything is temporary. I mean, if you go through history, history's a great teacher, and lessons are repeated because people don't change. Cultures, languages, locations, but human behavior is human behavior. And what do we see every time? There is always a great nation that thinks it never will fall. Babylon looked unstoppable as a superpower in the ancient world. Walls were massive. Wealth was legendary. Rulers believed this kingdom would stand forever, but in one night. While the king celebrated inside the palace, a mysterious hand appeared and wrote on the wall, and God's judgment came. And before the night was over, Babylon had fallen, another kingdom had taken its place. That's how quickly kingdoms can change. And yet Daniel knew something before this king ever did. And it's proclaimed even by Darius as he realizes when Daniel's rested, lions don't eat Daniel. In Daniel 6, it says what? This is years later, Darius, King Darius declares, I make this decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. Think about that. A pagan king understood something that believers can often forget, that God's kingdom outlasts any earthly kingdom. And so when our hope is tied to what is shaken, is shakable, it makes our heart shakable too. And so the temptation is not simply, hey, loving America. It's good to love America. It's good to celebrate America. We give thanks for that. We celebrate what's unique and special about this place. But we got to understand a temptation is expecting or actually believing America can do what only Jesus can do. That's our challenge. No election, no economy, no military, no Supreme Court, no Constitution can forgive your sins. Give you peace that passes all understanding. None of them can conquer death or raise you from the dead. Only Christ. And so we must remind and must guard our hearts that there is one kingdom that saves. Only one kingdom that saves. There's lots of false kingdoms that say they'll save you, that offer great intentions of help, but they can't save you. Only Jesus can. And what Jesus does is he saves you and he gives you true freedom. We have a freedom that is apart from our nation. See, Jesus saves us for something greater and greater, higher. And then Paul says, don't get entangled into civilian affairs. In other words, don't get all entangled, don't get all imprisoned and enslaved to what's going on in earthly nations and earthly business. It's temporary. And what our world wants to do, it sucks you in and gets you all entangled in it and all your heart messed in it. And when it robs you from life today, it robs you from your calling today, it robs you, takes you down from things that are above, of higher things, of greater kingdoms, of greater matters that are eternal. It puts you into temporal affairs which don't last or matter, that don't change your heart at all, that don't make eternal differences. It pulls us out of certainty into uncertainty. And Jesus freed us to live in the certainty of his work and of his kingdom, that we cannot be shaken. It brings us to our true home. And we understand heaven is our true home. God's kingdom is eternal. It lasts. Our kingdom here is like this. Eternity. You want peace? You want joy? You want freedom? I mean, all these things we desire most. I mean, if we have a tiny foretaste of what heaven, that kingdom is going to be like. This is way beyond what we can think of. So then how do we live then? What do we do then while we're here? Well, number three is that live as citizens of heaven while serving on earth. It's interesting. Is that of everyone for God to speak to on how to do this, it's Peter. Peter, who always wanted to take charge and fight. Peter, who wanted his own nation and be all in power, number one guy, you know? So think about this. This was Peter before the resurrection. I mean, he's probably like a lot of us. I mean, we get angry, want to fight, want to make things right. We're going to take the mission of God into our own hands. We're going to make it a great, great nation, right? A great kingdom. That's what Peter wanted to do. And then he got humbled, humbled a lot, and then restored. So what does a restored follower of Jesus look like who has things in proper order? Peter lays that out. He says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it is to be the emperor as supreme or the governor as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom to cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love their brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. That's a pretty beautiful answer. I mean, honor everyone, love your brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. The only problem with that sentence right there is who's Peter writing to? Peter is writing to persecuted Christians under Emperor Nero. And by persecuting, I mean putting them on a stick, lighting them up, doing just horrendous things I don't even want to describe because they're so disgusting. For his joy and entertainment. So can you imagine getting this letter from Peter when you have an evil leader and he says, honor the emperor? I'm sorry, I can't do that. No, he says do that. See, we get caught up in our emotions when our heart drifts. And Peter reminds us, he's got a heart ready to fight. He's got a heart ready to drift. And Peter's saying, no, here's where your heart needs to be aligned. You got to realize that, don't you remember God, isn't he sovereign? Isn't God ruling all things? And didn't God rule in all things even when it was in its greatest darkness or even when kings were good or kings were bad? We see that through all history. Isn't God working and being faithful and good even when people are not good and are evil? Isn't he still working his good in that? Isn't Scripture filled with evil kings and evil leaders, and yet God is working his incredible plan of salvation? See, we get upset because it's not comfortable for us. Because it's about our kingdom. And Peter's sitting there going, I've had to lay down my kingdom. I got it down. I mean, Jesus said, look, you're going to follow me and you're going to be dragged along where you're going to need to go. You're not going to be able to call the shots anymore, Peter. And he's reminding us as Christians, we're not here to call our kingdom. We're here to serve his kingdom. And trust in him. Because his kingdom is about working salvation out for the world. All people. And he'll use good and evil. And he'll use joy and these hardships in order to bring about his good and gracious will that all be saved, including you. Because you, in your freedoms of the church today, what has happened? The gifts have become the gods in America. We are the most prosperous nation ever. And money's our God. We are materialistic more than any other nation. And when the hardship has come, and hardship and persecution comes, what happens in the church? The church grows. the church is stronger. So why did I say we don't want to like, hey, thank you for the blessings, but let the blessings become the God? Because it's easy to stay in that comfort zone. It's easy to say we're good. And so what is God doing? What is Peter doing? He's saying, look, where's your hope? See, our hope is not just in the leaders we like. Our hope is not in the laws that we agree with. Our hope is not when gas prices go down and the stock market goes up and interest rates on homes go down. That's not where our hope is. Our hope has to be set in God first. If it's not set in God, we're like the children. We're going to be tossed around by everything of man and cunning thing, and we're going to get sucked up in this and that, and we're going to pick sides, and we're going to divide, and we're going to attack what we aren't supposed to attack. Peter gives order. God gives order through Peter. Fear God above all things and honor the people he put in authority. Doesn't mean agree, but honor. See, Peter doesn't confuse these two, and neither should we. But the world has tried to disciple you into disorder. It's just trying to disciple you into divisions. And if you start to say, as a Christian, I believe these are values, these are truth, these are things that are undeniable truths of creation, of what God has given that we ought to live by and our nation ought to be governed by, in which, in fact, our nation was designed by. And if you say that, and then they'll say, oh, no, you can't do that. See, it's interesting. The world is trying to tell us two things. One is that, you know, you just need a church and state are divided. And you need to shut up and stay over here in your lane. You know who's telling you that? Global agnostics. Global atheists. Those who don't believe. Because, yeah, Satan's behind it. They don't want you to have a voice. So they're trying to silence you. And so you got that. But then you have the church that's reacted to the other ditch and says Christian nationalism. That says, man, the nation is everything. We're a chosen people of God. This nation's chosen. This nation's specialist. This nation's God. Now, God works through, I mean, he has his authority in both his kingdom and the right hand, left hand, we call it, in the world and in the church. And he's working through all of it. But the nation is not some divine thing that is, this is like super God where we put all our trust and faith that they have God's revelation to guide them. And so we got Christians that intermingle faith with the nation. And what we really need to do is sit there and go, no, I'm not going to be quiet, and I'm not going to intermingle my hope into a nation. I'm going to sit there and have my fear in God, and I'm going to honor this office, but I'm here to be a heavenly citizen who's serving this earth. And how do we serve the earth the best? We pray. We love. We take care of others. We volunteer in our community. We make the world better around us, one neighbor at a time. By what? Serving, caring, speaking truth. Defending the helpless and the vulnerable and the marginalized. Speaking up for the weak, loving those we even disagree with. See, it goes back. God gave us a plan to change the world, to make it better. And notice it wasn't to create a nation. Disciples wanted their own little nation. They want to be Israel again. And he's like, that's not the plan. Sit and pray, idiot. No, he didn't say that, but... Right? But he could have, because they were just dumb. They were so fixed on it. Even after resurrection, even after Jesus said everything. You read Acts, you're like, so when are we going to go take the palace? You know, like, sit. And what? And then the Holy Spirit comes, right? And so these 11 guys and 12 and then the multitude with no great plan, no budget, no facility, no authority, no power in the world. Only in a fallen Jesus changed the biggest Roman Empire. Not by changing laws, but being neighbors and sharing the gospel. And God's kingdom changing hearts and reigning in hearts. If you want to change the world, make a disciple. Love your neighbor. Pray for them. Pray for our leaders. Serve them. Those things you know you do that God's called you to, that's how things change. And we do it not out of like, oh, we're going to lose this nation. We do it because we're secured in our kingdom in heaven. And that's the certainty that you have that's a gift. And so while the world's flapping like a fish on the deck, you get to come up and say, man, there's plenty of water to swim in. It's all good. Jesus loves you. See, ultimately, the sermon is not about America. It's about God's kingdom. Because there's kings that wear gold crowns. There's kings that send other people to shed blood for them to win their things. But our king came down from heaven. He took a crown of thorn, and he shed blood for you and I to win us into his kingdom. He didn't carry a scepter or sword. He carried a cross. And on that Easter morning, man, it looked desperate. It looked hopeless. It looked defeated. But what did our king do? He proved that the only kingdom death could not conquer was his. And that's why the greatest identity that we have is not Americans, it's not Republicans, it's not Democrats, it's not independents, it's not any other labels we can put on because there's more now. It's not even Floridians. It's close, but not. But your deepest identity is you belong to Christ. You belong to Christ. He chose you. In the waters of baptism, he feeds you with his word of grace and forgives your sins. He feeds you with his body and blood. He reminds you, he holds you close, and through the resurrection, he promised you a citizenship in heaven and a place he's already prepared for you. I'm curious what colors he's picked. I can't wait. So one day, and I don't know when, but there'll be a day that the American flag will not fly. Not because America failed, but because history itself will be completed. And every nation, every language, every tribe will stand before the throne. And John gives a picture of this in Revelation 7. And notice what they're singing. They're not singing their national anthem. They're not singing, "My country 'tis of thee," a song that's greater. Let's read together. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This is the anthem that's never going to grow old. This is a kingdom that's never going to fail. This is a king who's never going to leave his people. So today, give thanks. Give thanks for God for the gifts. Guard your heart against misplaced hope and live as joyful citizens, faithfully serving here on earth. Because our deepest hope doesn't rest in a flag. It rests on a cross, an empty tomb. It rests on the Lamb of God. Taken away your sins. Amen. We're going to close today in your worship folder this message, this little card. And this little card has the first prayer of the Continental Congress in 1774. And it's two-sided because there's modern English and then there's the original. We were going to read the modern English for our prayer. So I invite you to pray with me. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty King of kings and Lord of lords, you reign from your throne over all the earth. You see every nation and every person, and your power extends over every kingdom, empire, and government. Look with mercy on our nation. We ask you to watch over us with gracious care and protection, reminding us that our ultimate hope and security are found in you alone. We look to you for wisdom, strength, and justice that only you can provide. Heavenly Father, guide our leaders with wisdom and integrity. Give them discernment in their decision and courage to do what is right. Frustrate the plans of those who seek evil and turn hearts away from violence and conflict. May your perfect justice lead all people to pursue peace. Be present with those entrusted to govern. Grant them wisdom to establish what is true, just, and lasting. Bring an end to hatred and division, and restore peace, order, and unity. May truth, justice, faith, and only godliness flourish throughout our nation. Strengthen those who serve the public, preserve their health, and renew their minds. Bless our people according to your gracious will, providing for our daily needs and lead us always to trust in you. Above all, keep us steadfast in faith and through the saving work of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior, bring us at last into the everlasting glory of your heavenly kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And we also prayed a prayer the Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As we continue our worship, we get to honor our giver of the gifts with the gifts he's given us, a part of those in our tithes and offerings. You can use the offering envelope, the QR code, text to give. Also, on the back, you see the connection card. And if you, on the back of the connection card, if you haven't received the devotions, really encourage you to do that. If you new with us and you're like, hey, I'd love to find some place to connect with. In the summer, we kind of have a little less programming going on. We do have a large life group kind of coming on. We're going to have a special guest. I'm really looking forward to you to meet him. He's done mission trips and also has worked with trauma counseling and care. And just, man, he's a really neat guy. And I just wanted you to catch his heart. And he's going to bring a story and equipping with us so we can be better followers of Jesus and better 2 a.m. friends together. And so that's coming up in a men's group and some women activities you see. But if you'd like to know what's going on, just say, hey, let's just meet. And I would love to meet with you and get to learn your story and how I can help and where we are at. Also, you'll note it in the bulletin, the committee has found some potential land. And so if you're curious where it's at, it's the north side of Blue Mountain Beach. And so where the light is, where you would turn to Blue Mountain, if you go north, it is the first property on your right. And so there's a little wedge. It's a forestry land on your right. So then it's the northeast side of 98. And then it would be the next property. There's more things that have to be figured out. And so we just kind of put a tentative meeting in place as we try to figure those things out. If they can all be put together and if God is saying yes, then we will bring it to the voters. And if it can't put together or something where God says no, then we won't have a voters meeting. But the point is, just in case there's a meeting, we wanted to, if things line up, we wanted to have that meeting to bring that to you. So that is in process, and we ask you to continue to pray for that. So as we do, the ushers will, as we do it here, we bring our offerings forward and as we continue to worship together. And our connection cards.
All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing this song as I often do. Every song I say, and you never do. So I throw out my hands and praise you again.